and welcome to episode 3 of Get Her in the Game, a pitch podcast. This is a podcast about the TV show Pitch, hosted by myself. My name is Dee Dee, and co-hosted by Olivia, who goes by Sportivica on Twitter.
We're back.
So we're going to get into a little bit of pitch news, and then we'll get into our recap of episode 3 called Beanball. There were a couple of producers and writers for Pitch at the ATX festival. Was that? I forget where it was. It might have been in Texas. I'm not sure. But the Pitch Street team organized a Twitter trend for that afternoon, and also hired a plane to fly overhead with the message, "Hey Hulu, pick up Pitch." So, you know, they pulled out all the stops to get Hulu to consider Pitch. Unfortunately, Hulu declined, saying with 10 episodes, there wasn't enough data, I suppose, from viewers, or I don't know. They cited some reasons I didn't understand, but
some shows get picked up with only 3 episodes. But okay, all right.
Yeah, we're not bitter. We're totally bitter.
I am. But hats off to the Pitt Street team. It's the best organizing I've ever seen. And that was just in their, you know, out of the passion in their hearts and their love for this show. And I just admire their hard work so much. And their side of the campaign was a success. They were heard. Their message was received. Everything else falls on Hulu and Fox and everybody else who wants to pass up on this one-of-a-kind groundbreaking show.
Amen. And with that effort, the Pitch Street team decided to hang up their cleats. They're going to take a break because they just didn't see what else could be done at the moment. So if there are any other streaming services that want to pick up the show, or
right,
any other networks, you know, they need to let themselves be known.
Yeah. It's a shame because this show took, I think, over a decade to happen at all. You know, so clearly a lot of people have worked really hard on this from the very beginning, and it's just a shame. Don't know what else to say.
Yeah, with I could go on a rant about how these networks greenlight a couple of diverse, inclusive shows. You know, spend money on them as far as budgets, but don't bother to promote them.
Right.
Or they don't have any plan in place to sustain them over several seasons, because I really feel like they want to get their diversity cookies and then bounce.
Yeah, get the positive press, and that's that.
And meanwhile, we're going to give you 10 more shows that are pretty much the same. We're going to give you you know, half of them will be procedurals, half of them will be comedies. Everybody will look alike. And it's not going to get it. Television has changed so much because of the internet, because of social media, because of because of video games. There's so many different things that people can do entertainment-wise. You have to have something really special to get butts on couches and eyeballs tuned to a television station. So, but they choose to keep doing the same old things, and it's just really frustrating and annoying.
Even though, it's proven that that is also not working. If they
It's
have to
not.
keep doing it, then it's not working. And another bitterness point, I don't ever want to see on Tumblr again someone telling me to support or watch. I remember there was campaign for Eyewitness.
Oh.
Yeah, I never want to see any of that again. About shows that do the bare minimum, not even the bare minimum, really. And yet there's no support for shows like Pitch, The Get Down, Underground, and so
Still
on.
star-crossed. They just can't
I
stop.
am
Yeah.
shaking mad about Still Star-Crossed because they have doomed this show from the beginning, which I don't get because it must have cost, I keep hearing, wow, this costs so much to make. Oh my God, is it worth it? And yet they premiere it on the same night as the NBA Finals. I at 10 o'clock on a Monday night. Seriously? And now they're just letting it disappear on Saturday nights. I will be watching, so you can't
Yes.
make me disappear. God, I'm so upset about this because this show is just such a delight and so beautiful. Like, it's bright. It's anyways, I won't forget Pitch. I won't forget Still Star-Crossed. I won't forget what happened to them. Thank you and good night.
Yeah, fuck these networks.
Yes.
Moving on to our recap.
Right, Bean Ball. What's a girl gotta do to get Bean?
Okay, so the episode opens with Buck's first game as manager. We're like halfway through the game. And the play-by-play guy is wondering if Buck will choose a pinch hitter or a lefty after what happened in the last inning. He chooses Jenny instead, and she steps up to bat. Blip and Mike are getting ready to storm the field as they're in the middle of a beanball war. And the right-handed pitcher throws straight down the middle, and the shot we see, it looks as if the ball is going to hit us or really hit Jenny right in the face, because all we see is the ball going straight down the middle. The next scene is 7 hours earlier, and Amelia and Mike are having sex. And they're interrupted by a call from Jenny. It's wild how she manages to call both of them at almost the same time. It's like maybe she just called them one after the other. I'm not sure, but both of their phones ring and it's from her. Later that morning, Mike's making breakfast for himself, and Amelia hurries downstairs, half dressed, reminding him that they can't tell Jenny about what they're doing. Mike doesn't understand the secrecy, which prompts Amelia to blab the fact that Jenny still has his rookie card and used to have his poster on her wall as a kid. That's some stuff you really could have kept to yourself, Amelia.
And this
I
is
don't.
Amelia. like she you know, claims to know nothing about baseball, but she knows this. She knows who Mike Lawson is because that's how important he is to Jenny. And so to see them, like Mike, you know, he didn't even make breakfast for Amelia. You know, like, and she was already saying, I can't have breakfast with you. If it's this meaningless to both of you, why not just have meaningless sex with someone else, you know, that has nothing to do with Jenny, because this is not fair to her.
Yeah. Yeah. All salient points. Wonderful questions. But Amelia is only the second most disliked person in this episode for me. The first most disliked person is coming up later. Bet you can guess.
Yep.
Frank checks in with Buck, who is a man of few words. He says he talked to Oscar about everything, and he's good. So Frank just rolls up his window and drives off.
All right, good talk. And now this is something I would absolutely, like, if Jenny were a real person, I guarantee this would happen.
Yes.
Drake sends Jenny a bottle of champagne. DDU assumes it was Dom Perignon. So, yep, all across the board, absolutely this would happen in real life.
Yes.
You know, Drake would be, okay. Mike read the card.
We already know how much he doted on Serena Williams.
Yes.
So, yes.
Oh, he would be in love. So Mike read the card attached that invited her to a listening party for his new album. And Tommy notes that she'll go out with rappers, but not ball players. I don't know why that concerns you, Tommy.
Yeah. You don't have a shot either way.
Yeah.
If you weren't a ball player.
I mean, first of all, you're a jerk to her. Second of all, you know, like, what is that attitude? It's just, okay. Jenny says she's not going out with Drake or anybody. She doesn't care if they're rappers or doctors. She's also definitely not going out with someone like Tommy. She makes a point to say that. So Tommy reminds Jenny that he's coming off the disabled list just in time to play the guy who sent him there. And that means one player has to go back down now that he's coming off the disabled list, either him or Jenny, in a threatening way, of course. Jenny talks shop with Mike while he's getting a massage. This is one of my favorite things that kind of, you see it a lot in the show, just their little back and forth while Mike is getting, you know, taped together. I love when he's like, get off my lawn or whatever he says.
Yeah.
Theo Falcone hit Tommy and broke his arm. And Jenny knows there's a code meaning payback. But Mike doesn't want Jenny to get involved, even though she does want to fight for her teammates. And, you know, this is kind of yet another hoop that Jenny has to jump through. And, you know, of course, she feels like she has to prove herself to her teammates, and especially to Tommy, who constantly undermines her. And she assumes, because Mike tells her not to get involved, that he doesn't want her to get involved because she's a woman. And Mike tells her she's exhausting and shoos her away. He needs his pregame nap. Probably true.
She's like, you take a lot of naps, old man.
Well,
he needs them.
Yep. I mean, if I were Jenny, I would need naps too.
Yeah, shoot. As a fellow old person, I say, take your naps.
Yep.
Take your naps, old man. I understand. Oh, so Ginny's walking away from Mike on the massage table when she gets a text from Trevor asking for one more drink. And this launches us into our first flashback. It's San Antonio in 2014. So if you remember from previous flashbacks, that means she was still in the AAA. She was still in the minor leagues in San Antonio. She's having a beer with Blip and Evelyn. So I guess this is the team that they were both on for a while. Someone sends Jenny a drink, and Evelyn is wondering why nobody is sending drinks her way. And Flip says, because they know that you are happy and satisfied, and they don't want to mess with me. So they're just being cute together when Trevor walks over, and immediately Evelyn is blocking. She instead of waiting for Jenny to say anything, she greets Trevor by saying, yeah, Jenny doesn't date ball players. Like, wow. Get right to the point, Evelyn. Trevor replies that Jenny struck him out 3 times tonight, so clearly he's not a ball player. Fair point. Back in modern day, Buck and Al are watching Timmy pitch. They're noting the curve and velocity of his throws, but they're also talking about the front office drama. Buck tells Al that he saw that Max is back, and Al realizes that ownership's gathering to discuss firing him. Buck says he doesn't want to take Al's job, but nobody's looking to hire a 67-year-old coach. And if Al's going to leave anyway, Buck would like his day in the sun. If only for the tan. Al tells him he'd love Buck to take over for him, but right now this is still his ball club, and he's not giving it up without a fight. And besides, Buck can't tan anyway.
So Al tells Oscar that Tommy's ready to come off the disabled list and they should send Wu Jin down. And Wu Jin doesn't speak English, so Oscar wants to find a translator to give him the news. But Al insists that it's his job. But Oscar tells him, I'm going to take this off your plate because there's a lot going on today, which Al knows that means he's probably going to get fired at the end of the day. So Oscar tells Rhonda, his assistant, to find a translator for Wu Jin. And then his daughter, Daniela, shows up, and Oscar has to also break some bad news to her. So it's a stressful day for Oscar, kind of a running theme for him.
Yeah, there's more on his plate than on Al's.
Yeah, for real. So Al gets into an argument with the umpire before the game. He shares some notes with him and kind of insinuates that the umpire has trouble seeing. And so that results in Al getting tossed out before the national anthem. And he gives the ball to Buck, saying now it's his first major league game as a coach. And it's pretty obvious that Al set all of this up, like he meant to get thrown out so that he could then start his little scheme.
Yep. He's a sly one. He's a sly one. When he's not putting his foot in his mouth, pretty smart. We go to a flashback with Ginny breaking her rule about dating ball players. She's at the same, it looks like the same bar that she was with Blip and Evelyn in the earlier scene. But technically, she says it's not a date because she's paying her own way. Jenny tells Trevor that, you know, she deals with misogynists, and then she deals with guys that are even worse, the ones that who are trying to protect her. Trevor says he's quitting the game and going to college because he says he doesn't have it. Jenny thinks that maybe he needs to work harder. And this is where she tells him to, quote unquote, nut up. Trevor disagrees. He thinks that she has it and he doesn't. When the waitress comes back and gives them the check, she slides the check his way, officially making it a date. So I guess, you know, she bought the spiel that he was laying down. Then they're kissing in the parking lot. And Jenny tells him that no one can know, especially the players. And he agrees, and they keep on smooching. Back in the present day, Al walks into the clubhouse and asks for a table for two right in the middle there. Says he's ordering in. Oscar's daughter, Daniela, joins Evelyn in the owner's box. they pass by Amelia, and Daniela calls and asks if Amelia is Elsa from Frozen. Oscar leaves to find a translator, tells Rhonda to call UCSD's linguistics department.
Still on the hunt. So back in the game, the pitcher almost hits Blip with one of his throws. And in the dugout, Mike wants Jenny to stay out of it. And she's mad because she thinks Mike is trying to protect her. And she just wants to be treated like any other teammate. And I think this kind of highlights why she says the teammates that try to protect her are worse to her, because she says to Mike at some point in the episode something like, even you won't let me do this. And it kind of, you know, for the guys that try to protect her, it's like they give her this false sense of they're treating her as an equal, but then when it comes down to it, they're still gonna have that, you know, is it instinct or whatever, take over and try to protect her. So Mike is the one person, along with Blip probably, that she feels like is truly treating her as an equal. But then when they're confronted with something like this, you know, she realizes that's not the case. Al meets with Max in the clubhouse for a fancy dinner. So that's going on at the same time. Also, Mike hit a home run. Easy as that. then Ginny is pitching. She hits Falcone with her next pitch. And Mike reminds her of the code. Now that she's hit someone, they get to hit her back. And Blip asks her what she's doing. But Ginny sits next to Tommy, who's smiling and, for the first time, seems impressed by her.
So all she has to do is risk getting beaned to impress her, impress somebody. I mean,
yeah. Okay.
Oscar runs back into the owner's box, and tries to be as polite as possible while asking Elliot about his ethnicity. Elliot says he is second generation Korean, although he speaks very little. He can say hello and goodbye, basically.
And eggplant.
And eggplant. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. Yeah. Why he knows eggplant. Yeah. mess. Oscar's running around again and sees Al having dinner with Max. But, you know, he doesn't barge in. He just, you know, lets Al cook. Then we go into the meeting, the dinner, and Max tells Al that she can't save his job, even though he was her hire and she's quite fond of him. Frank runs the team as a minority owner, even though he hasn't been designated by the board to make baseball decisions. And this is how this is where we first see Al's cunning. Al tells Max that if he's fired mid-season, it's going to look like Jenny pressured the front office to do it. And she'd be crucified in the media, even more so than she already is, for something she had absolutely nothing to do with. Al suggests letting him finish out the season and then retire. And then Buck Garland can take the job over after him.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that, you know, would have been important in the long run had Pitch been picked up. Yep. But not like we talked in the last episode, not only would Jenny be crucified in the media, you know, just because she and Tommy kind of sort things out in this episode, it's still very fragile and it could go either way very quickly. And so if Al were fired mid-season, it would just be terrible all the way around for her. So he's right.
Mm-hmm. She'd be called Coach Killer. And, you
know, as NBA fans, we know.
We know. We're familiar with some coach killers, some actual coach killers, and some people that have been
accused
of being coach killers, but are most likely scapegoats almost everywhere they go. So it's once you get branded with that, it's hard to shake it.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the game, Buck wants to sub her out with Ellis, and Mike wants her out too, but Jenny argues her case, and Tommy says, you know, Buck let her throw another inning, she's earned it, and Buck finally relents.
Do like players really pressure their manager like this? You know, like, does this really happen?
I don't know. I don't know much about baseball. all I can think of is basketball, because I'm more familiar with that. Yeah. I guess if you're a star player, you may be able to influence.
Yeah.
Coach like that.
I guess it was kind of by committee anyways, because, you know, Al
this
was
is first. This yeah. is Buck's first time coaching too. So yeah. That might have something to do with it too.
Yeah. So the Cardinals make a double switch, bringing in the Mountain, AKA Greg Mount, and he leads the league in hit batsmen. I don't know. He's probably proud of that.
I didn't know that was a stat.
Yeah. the new catcher, Davis, is called Mount's favorite battery mate. And it's not looking good for Jenny, who is now at bat after hitting someone on the opposing team. Mm-hmm. And now we've all caught up to where we're at the beginning of the episode. And it is kind of cool that the show, you know, is, I mean, this is only the third episode, but they've done this a lot now. It kind of helps build excitement for when we're finally caught up, you know? So I do like that structure. But before we find out what happens next, We have another flashback to Jenny at a golf club with Trevor. And Trevor wants to start telling people that they're dating. He wants Jenny to come to his games. He wants to show her off. Jenny says no. But she does end up sitting in the stands at his next game when he is suddenly pulled out of the game. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just, you know, it is unfair of Trevor to ask that of her. I think even if he's saying it's going to be, you know, his last couple games, even then he's still a player in the league. And just like if Jenny's coach were to be fired in the middle of the season, if it were to get out that she dated a player, she would be just, it would have awful repercussions for her. Unfortunately, you know, she would, it would just, that was some, that is also something that would stay with her the rest of her career.
And does he ever say anything about going to see her games?
Good question.
I mean, it's all about what he wanted.
Yeah.
He doesn't really consider Jenny's point.
We never saw him try to meet her halfway, even. It was just him constantly saying, come on, you know. It kind of wore him down, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you guess who is my most disliked person this episode? Can you guess? Yeah,
I think so.
In the present day, back on the field, Mount seems to be afraid of hurting her, or either the catcher is. And, you know, ball after ball is thrown, and Jenny's just standing there, not hitting them, basically ducking them. And then trying to figure out what's going on. Like, is it the pitcher that's afraid of hurting her, or the catcher? And the catcher keeps saying, you know, what was it? He kept saying something to her. Finally, the catcher takes off his, whatchacallit?
Mask.
Yes, thank you. And reveals that he's Trevor.
Mm.
So we go back to another flashback and find out that Trevor was pulled out of the game because he got traded to the Cardinals Triple A team. He says now college will have to wait because he's got a shot at the big show. He lets slip that the Cardinals were scouting him for a while, and Jenny puts two and two together and realizes that he'd been thinking about sticking with baseball after all, and he'd basically been lying to her. And then he had the nerve to say something like, well, hey, you've already broken your rule. Why not just, you know, keep going? I mean,
God.
I just wanted to shake him. He's like really tall. And
yeah.
I'm not. So yeah, this made me so mad. Because she said the first time that they had dinner, you're just lying to me to get in my pants. And come to find out, he fucking was.
Yep. And this, it's a good example of, you know, he's like, what's the big deal? He truly doesn't get it. And it's like it never crossed his mind to tell Jenny that he's being scouted. Either it never crossed his mind or it did, and he just, you know,
kept it's like, oh, I better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I better keep that to myself. He might get big. Really mad.
Yep.
So, yeah. Trevor sucks.
Indeed.
Not in a fun way. Back in the present day, Mount throws another ball. Ginny walks toward the mound asking what a girl has to do to get beaned around here.
Put it on a t-shirt.
She starts arguing with Trevor and pushing him around. And then Tommy and the rest of the team were like, screw it. That's all we need to start storming the field.
Yep. They just want to storm the field. They want to.
And then it's the weirdest fight on the field because nobody was really throwing punches. They were like grabbing collars and
grab your partner.
They were like grabbing each other and like maybe pushing each other around, but nobody was throwing blows. And Evelyn complained about that later on in the episode.
I love that shot of Evelyn just yelling at Blip to get in there.
She wants blood. The ump throws 43 and 45 Padres out of the game. So that means Ginny and Tommy get thrown out. And as they're walking to the clubhouse, they bump fists. So they're bros now, I guess.
I guess that's, yeah. I was reading some recaps of this episode, and there's a great line from the TV Line one written by Kimberly Roots. And she said, how you like them nectarines? I love that. I love that. I also want that on a t-shirt. Okay. Back to sort of behind the scenes. Max and Frank meet, and Max mentions the stagnant earnings at Arentech, their company. And if Frank is ousted as CEO, he'll no longer be the control person for the Padres. So there's a little threat there. Frank says he can make this a messy divorce, and Max says they'll miss Frank. But also, Frank also said, is there something I should know about you and Al? Fuck you, Frank.
He's such a jerk. Such a jerk. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she should have just fired him for that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what, Frank? You can go.
You can leave
Arentech, and you can definitely leave this Padres clubhouse right now. For even saying that.
I know. That was... So, and I think it would have been interesting to, instead of seeing the relationship between Frank and Ginny, I think it would have been cool if it was Max and Ginny anyways. Like, what's the need for Frank? But I guess he's our main antagonist, but fuck you, Frank.
Frank would have said that if Max was a woman. I mean, if Max was a man.
Exactly. So Frank meets Al outside the clubhouse and says to ignore the rumors about his job being in jeopardy. It's been settled. Yeah, it has. Al already knows. Oscar tells Al that he knows the two of them are not in a good place. Al just says they both have jobs to do. And then part of Al's job is telling Wu Jin he's going to be sent down. And Oscar has yet to find an interpreter, but they don't need one because Al speaks Korean because he's been a manager in this league for a while. There are a lot of Korean baseball players in the league, and he uses it here. And also, Woo Jim is pretty cute, just want to say.
Yes.
I was sad to see him go. I wish it was Tommy. Not gonna lie. And then Al says, people who underestimate me tend to be surprised. Then he leaves Oscar to drop a deuce.
Because he's classy like that.
Drop the mic, then drop a deuce. Gabby does it. Yep. See all this potential, this merch potential we're giving you, Fox, Hulu, anybody out there? Yeah. So I guess after Al drops the deuce, he goes into his office where Buck is getting interviewed. And he comes in with a bottle of champagne and is very happy and supportive. And cute little scene. Everybody's happy. But not for long.
Oscar introduces Daniela to Ginny, and Ginny's really just very charming, and they take a picture together. And Oscar finally tells her that he's not going to stay over tonight, and that he, well, Daniela figures all of this out because
she's smart.
Seems like, yeah, it seems like all the women are smarter than, or all the girls and all the women are smarter than the guys on this show, which,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
True to life.
Basically. So Daniela, you know, figures it out that he and her mother are going to make it official and get a divorce. Because right now they're just separated. But, and Oscar wants to talk it over a little more, but she's like, no, this is a good day and I don't want to ruin it. So Let's do it some other day. outside the clubhouse, Trevor's waiting for Ginny. And there's a flashback to earlier, to back in San Antonio, where a different player named DC asks for one night with her. He says one night will get him to the show, that it worked for Trevor Davis. And this is exactly what Ginny didn't want. And this is exactly why Ginny instated that rule. It's why she made this rule about not dating ball players. Because she didn't want this extra harassment. Ginny says one night won't fix his sorry ass swing and just walks away. But, you know, she's still, you can tell upsetting. She just wants to smack Trevor for doing this to her. So we go back to the present day, and Trevor apologizes for how it ended in Texas. And then he has more bad news for her. He tells her that he got hacked. And that includes everything from passwords to pictures, including selfies from the road, which I guess is another way of saying nudes.
Yeah.
He gives her advice to find a friend. Because celebrity is a lot for one person to handle.
Yeah, no shit, Trevor.
Could have been you if you hadn't been such a pushy dick.
And, like, we saw after Ginny talked to Mike when he was getting some physical therapy. I think as she's walking out the room, she gets a text. This is earlier in the episode, and it's from Trevor. We don't know who Trevor is at that point. And it says, one more drink or something like that. And in this conversation that he has with her, where he's telling her about the pictures and if she had just answered a text or a call, if that's his idea of an urgent text, then what?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
you couldn't say there's an emergency, you know, something better than this.
I need to tell you.
Like, sounds like booty text, like a booty call. Like,
yeah. And after the way they ended it, like, you have to say something more urgent to get her attention, because otherwise, she won't want to waste her time with you. She's already wasted enough time with you, Trevor.
Yeah.
Like, could have said, I got hacked in a text.
Yeah.
And then that would have, she might have wanted to call him back then. You're right. Yeah.
And like, And how, did he know that their pictures were in the cloud? Did he intentionally keep those pictures in the cloud? Like, it sounded like he found out that they were in the cloud or something, but that was kind of sketchy too. But whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he's a liar, so it's hard to believe anything he says.
Yeah.
We've established he's a liar. He lied about several things. He lied by omission. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so who knows? Yeah. He could just be an iPhone user that doesn't really understand iCloud or whatever. And, you know, we've already seen a lot of celebrities get their pictures packed in the cloud because they don't really know much about cloud backup. But the thing is with Trevor, we don't know because he knew stuff and purposely kept it from Jenny. So.
Yeah, and this is an emergency for her. This is absolutely an emergency. Like, she needs to know right away. So that text won't do. But moving on from Trevor, Mike has been standing there down the hall watching this whole conversation. he's waiting for Jenny. Just wants to make sure, you know, because all he knows so far is that they had some words at the plate. And it's kind of what catapulted the whole kerfluffle on the field. So he's standing there watching, and they have a nice conversation where he tells Jenny that he's never had a rookie like her. He's because of all the things that she has to deal with, all the things that she takes on. And he tells her that she blows him away. Same. And then Jenny asks him if he plays golf. And in the conversation Jenny had with Trevor, he said something about needing a golf partner as kind of a callback to their date. Yeah. So it's kind of sweet that Jenny asks Mike about that. And we know what that means now. And Mike tells her he doesn't, and he's like, do I look like I play golf? And Jenny says, you look like a Duck Dynasty brother with that beard. I think Jenny's like us, and you know, we all fell in love with Mark Paul Gosselaar when he was Zach Morris, and I think she doesn't like the beard.
I like the beard, though.
I do like the beard. Yeah, he can do both. He can do both. But I think she, you know, she became a fan of him and probably also had a crush on him. Who can blame her? At the start when he had the clean shaven face. So Mike calls in an early night when Tommy and some of the other teammates are walking by, and Tommy first asks Mike if he wants to come out for drinks with them. And then he invites Jenny, and she goes. And Mike asks Jenny if they should pick up the conversation later. And Jenny says there's nothing to pick up, and walks away. And after she walks away, Mike does a little practice golf swing. It's pretty cute, but you need to cut this shit with Amelia if you're feeling this way.
Also, yeah, you need to take another massage because you're going to fuck up your back playing golf.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. But so, yeah, first cut this stuff with the...
Yeah. I think this episode so far, it's only episode 3, but it had the most baseball stuff. You know, we saw the most in-game action. We learned a lot about different traditions in baseball, and we also saw from the ownership standpoint, what goes down a lot. So that was pretty cool to learn about that. And I think the show films baseball really beautifully and really makes it look like a very exciting sport when it isn't always exciting, but it really does a good job of filming it. So I did like that. And I also really liked seeing Ginny in so many different kind of like everyday clothes. And I just loved how normal they are. Like they look like, and I guess, you know, the show has had a partnership with Kohl's. They really look like they're just, you know, from Kohl's or Target, or I really liked that detail. I liked her style. It was cute.
And, I liked Al's backroom shenanigans and
yeah,
Evelyn just being a bloodthirsty fan.
Yep.
In the owner's box.
I mean, Blip had a good point. He didn't want to get suspended. He didn't want to get fined thousands of dollars. But I totally understand Evelyn as well.
So that is episode 3, Bean Ball. We've got more goodness to go. I'm already excited about episode 4, because if it's the one that I remember, I hope, is this the one with the photo shoot?
Oh, I think it might be. That was iconic.
Yes. Yes. So I'm already very excited.
Lots of comments about that one.
Yes. Lots of right click saving of GIFs and pics of that episode. So yes, very excited about that episode. Hulu, you fucked up. Netflix, you fucked up. Fox, you definitely fucked up.
God, yeah.
ABC, you're fucking up. And,
yeah. Can I, like, is any show safe? I mean, is there any place to turn to at this point?
Fucking Natural is safe.
Yeah. Well, I saw that their next season will be their last.
Fucking.
Yeah, whatever will the CW do without their precious Supernatural?
I don't know. Probably create 5 spinoffs like HBO is doing with Game of Thrones.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just guessing. I hope they don't do that.
I haven't seen a single episode of Game of Thrones.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I made it this far in life.
Wow,
without that.
You are truly living. You are truly living.
But
a life free of rape and rape threats.
Oh, yes. God. Okay. Yeah, I definitely don't need that. I've heard a lot of good things about Black Sails and no warnings for what happens in episode 3.
Oh,
dear. So, yeah. So, that kind of took me by surprise. But perhaps I'll get back into it because I've heard a lot of really good things about it. But for now, the focus remains on Pitch. And yeah, I'm really excited for episode 4 of it is the photo shoot episode. When yes. were your faves ever? Never. Ooh. That's when.
Yeah. You can reach us by email at blackgirlsqueeze@gmail.com. Olivia is at Sportifica. That's Sportifica. Yes. I'm at Best Daughter on Twitter and just about everywhere. And so if you have any comments or questions about the show, you can contact us there. And until next time, bye!
Thanks for listening.